Amos chapter 5, as we continue our sermon series in the Minor Prophets. We're at the fifth chapter of Amos. If you're using the blue Bible in the pew rack in front of you, you'll find it on page 649. Amos chapter 5, page 649. Hearing loss affects one in every 10 Canadians. Did you know that? Hearing loss of some sort affects one in every 10 Canadians. Now, I just did a little bit of research on the internet, and I also discovered that of those who experience some sort of hearing loss, only one in five wear a hearing aid who could benefit from wearing a hearing aid. Only one in five. Now, that statistic came from a store that sells hearing aids. So we should maybe take that with a little bit of a grain of salt, because after all, they're in the business of making money by selling hearing aids. But regardless of what the exact numbers are, the facts remain. Lots of people suffer some sort of hearing loss, and not many people are doing anything about it. What are some of the causes of hearing loss? Well, according to the Canadian Hearing Society, some of the more common causes of hearing loss include excessive exposure to loud noise. That's a no-brainer. But also sometimes there are infections, viral or bacterial infections, medications. Sometimes a side effect of a new medicine might deter your hearing just a little bit. There are hereditary factors that come into play. Aging, of course, fluid buildup, perforation or scarring of the eardrum, dislocation of the bones in the middle ear, foreign objects in the ear, wax buildup in the ear, Meniere's disease, and of course, unusual growths or tumors. The Hearing Loss Association of America tells us that hearing loss is the third most common physical ailment suffered by people in North America after arthritis and heart disease. And so as a third most common physical ailment, it truly is a major public health issue. Some causes for hearing loss are preventable, some are not. And in most cases, not all, but certainly in the vast majority of cases, hearing can be improved through testing and proper treatment. Well, there is another cause of hearing loss that is even worse than all of the causes I have just mentioned. And that has to do with a heart that is not right with God. Hearing loss that comes about because of an attitude that refuses to listen to what the Lord is trying to say to us. Three times in the book of Amos, the prophet begins his oracle with the words, "Hear this word." Amos chapter 3, verse 1, "Hear this word. The Lord has spoken against you, O people of Israel, against the whole family I brought up out of Egypt." Amos chapter 4, verse 1, "Hear this word, you cows of Bashan on Mount Samaria, you women who oppress the poor and crush the needy, and say to your husbands, bring us some drinks." Amos chapter 5, verse 1, "Hear this word, O house of Israel, this lament that I take up concerning you." Hear this word. Sadly, however, it seems as though these words were falling on deaf ears. The people were refusing to listen. But what if we were to listen to what God wants to say? What if we were paying attention to what the Lord was trying to communicate? What if our hearing was clear and we could discern what the Spirit of God wants to say to His church today, to this church this morning? What would we hear? Well, according to Amos chapter 5, we would hear at least two major things. Seek God and seek good. Pretty easy to remember, is it not? Seek God and seek good. First, seek God. Amos chapter 5, verse 4. This is what the Lord says to the house of Israel. Seek me and live. Verse 6, seek the Lord and live. Now, Amos was not the only prophet who had this kind of a message, this encouragement, this strong urging for people to seek after God. Another prophet by the name of Hosea, who ministered just a few years after Amos, and who was the only other prophet to minister primarily among the 10 northern tribes of the nation of Israel, he had a lot to say about seeking God. For example, Hosea chapter 3, verse 5, afterwards the Israelites will return and seek the Lord their God and David their king. They will come trembling to the Lord and to his blessings in the last days. Hosea chapter 5, verse 15, and they will seek my face. In their misery, they will earnestly seek me. And Hosea 10, verse 12. Sow righteousness for yourselves. Reap the fruit of unfailing love. And break up your unplowed ground, for it is time to seek the Lord until he comes and showers his righteousness on you. So how long are we to seek the Lord? Until he comes and showers his righteousness on you. A few years ago, in my annual report to the congregation, I suggested that God likes playing hide and seek. I was not suggesting that God likes playing hide and seek with us because he's trying to be mean and nasty, not at all. I think God likes hide and seek because he loves it when we are earnestly seeking after him, when we are constantly pursuing him and his ways. The Bible tells us time and time again that we are to earnestly seek after God. And we have a wonderful promise from another prophet, Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 13. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. Isn't that amazing? God wants to be found by us. God will be found by us if we seek after him with all of our hearts. See, God likes playing hide and seek with us because he constantly wants us to be pursuing him, to be looking for him, to be discovering his goodness and his faithfulness, to discover that his mercies are new every morning. God does not want us to be coasting on past blessings, to be coasting on past experiences, not at all. He wants our relationship with him to be fresh and vibrant and dynamic. A living relationship. And that involves a continual posture, a continual mindset of seeking, seeking, earnestly seeking after God. So that's the first thing we would hear if we were to listen carefully to what Amos was trying to communicate in the fifth chapter of this book. The second thing we would hear, the second major thing we would hear, is seek good. Chapter 5, verse 14, seek good, not evil, that you may live. Verse 15, hate evil, love good, maintain justice
in the courts. Now, isn't that interesting? Look back at verse 6. Seek the Lord and live. And then verse 14. Seek good, not evil, that you may live. Oh, how Amos loved to write and to talk about pursuing justice and about doing good. A great exercise for all of us would be to sit down and read all 9 chapters of the book of Amos in one sitting. And as you're reading through the book of Amos in one sitting, take note of every time that Amos talks about justice, about righteousness, pursuing good, doing good for others. I think some would be surprised at how much emphasis God places on being concerned for the welfare of others. Of course, seeking after God is to be priority number one. Jesus made it abundantly clear that the first and greatest commandment is to love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. In other words, to love him with all we have, that is priority number one. But let's not forget the second greatest commandment, which is what? Love your neighbor as yourself. That is to be priority number two. And loving our neighbor involves, among other things, hating evil, loving good, maintaining justice in the courts. And Amos had so much to say about this. He really was functioning as Israel's conscience. He was pointing out the many different ways that they were oppressing the poor, crushing the needy, the many different ways where they were propping up a corrupt legal system. They were totally unconcerned for the welfare and needs of others. Totally unconcerned. I like what James Montgomery Boyce has to say in his commentary on these verses, and I quote, "There is no seeking after God that is not at the same time a seeking after good and a shunning of evil. There is no seeking after God that is not at the same time a seeking after justice. Anything else is hypocrisy." And that leads us to what is probably the key verse in Amos. It's Amos chapter 5, verse 24. "But let justice roll on like a river, righteousness like a never-failing stream." Some have called Amos 5, verse 24, one of the grandest declarations of Scripture. Martin Luther King Jr. was fond of often quoting this verse during the civil rights movement of the 1960s. This may well be the golden text of the entire book of Amos. To quote James Montgomery Boyce once again, "This is a key verse in the book of Amos, for it reveals God's concern that his people be righteous in their character and just in their conduct. No matter how much religious activity we may participate in, if we don't love our brother and our neighbor, we can't honestly worship and serve the Lord." End of quote. Amos 5:24, "But let justice roll on like a river, righteousness like a never-failing stream." Well, as I was thinking and praying, preparing for the sermon again this morning, and a possible response to this strong admonition to seek God and to seek good, to maintain justice in the land. The whole topic of abortion came to my mind once again. Back in January, if you were here and if you remember, one of the suggested responses to one of those sermons as we were just beginning our study in the book of Amos had to do with abortion. And we had a petition at the back and encouraged people to sign the petition for parental consent. As the law stands right now in our province, you need parental consent for a minor, for anyone under the age of 18, before you can go to a tanning salon. If you're under the age of 18, you need your parents' permission, written permission, to go to a tanning salon. But you do not even need to inform your parents if you're thinking of having an abortion. It's ludicrous. It really is. And so we had that petition as a possible response to the sermon. Many of you signed that petition. Thank you for doing that. When we had those petitions, I then contacted the Saskatchewan Pro-Life Association, and I just asked them, well, what do we do with petitions now? What's the best way to deliver them? And I spoke with one of their representatives, Jane Gattinger. She is the one who originally sent me an email and a letter back in December, alerting me to this petition that could be signed. And Jane offered to come and meet with me, which she has done, and showed me all kinds of wonderful materials that the Saskatchewan Pro-Life Association has developed, resources, literature, over the many, many years. And she just mentioned that if it would be helpful, she'd be willing to come and address our congregation. So I thought about that for a few days and prayed about it for a few days. And I thought, well, as we get to Amos chapter 5, I think that would be a good Sunday to do that. So Jane was already in our Sunday school class earlier this morning to the combined youth and adult Sunday school class and showed us some wonderful PowerPoint slides, gave us some helpful information. And Jane, I'm going to invite you to come and join me here at the platform right now. And she's going to share a few of those slides with us and just how we can get involved. She has a display table out in the main entryway with lots of good resources, lots of good literature. And I'm going to give her the microphone, and she's going to show us some of her slides. Would you join me in welcoming Jane this morning?
Thank you so much, Pastor Stanson, for having me, and thank you so much, everyone, for your time. I'm here to talk about a topic that I'm really passionate in, and I know that it's one that brings strong feelings on both sides of the fence, and I can appreciate and respect that. I want to talk first a little bit about what we're about, but before we get to that, I just want to say that statistically speaking, 1 in 5 women have had an abortion, and almost 1 in 3 babies are aborted today. So statistically, that means that there are a number of people here who have been through that experience, and I don't mean to be at all insensitive to you and to your experience and what you've been through and what you're coping with by any stretch. Having said that, there will be some photos of beautiful live fetuses growing in the womb. If you're someone that thinks that might be uncomfortable for you, please feel free to avert your gaze as I'm going through these. So on that note, the Saskatchewan Pro-Life Association, we're a nonprofit organization supporting groups financially, networking, that fight for life. And we stay very informed, especially our board of directors is highly informed on the most cutting edge, latest research in the area of life, in both abortion, infanticide, gendercide, euthanasia, in every front. Really fighting to rescue lives. And when I say really fighting, our board of directors is not paid, and a lot of them work more than full-time, overtime hours dedicated to this issue. And it's not uncommon in every pro-life group throughout the province and probably throughout the country, where a number of the people that are working on the board are actually people that have survived an abortion, they've had an abortion, I guess, to be more clear. So don't think there's any, that I'm passing any judgment on anyone here today. That's just not the case. The pro-life movement, or Pro-Life Saskatchewan, takes political action in educating the public and supporting those in dire pregnancy need. So if a mom comes forward and she is in dire need, maybe it's a matter of resources that she's needing, we have a special fund set up there to specifically help her out. Because it's one thing to say, this is what we think you should or shouldn't do, but then it's another thing to just turn away and say, deal with it on your own now. That's not the Christian approach. We, with the grace of God, through prayer, education, and political action, work for the respect and protection of all human life, from conception to natural death. So here's the photo of our first 7-week-old live growing fetus in the womb. And you can see legs, knees, ankles, toes, fingers, eyes, the whole face is shaped already. And nobody can tell me that that's a clump of tissue. Did you know that by the time the mother finds out that she's pregnant, by the time she's 2 days overdue, she already has a separate heart beating within? We were always told it's 21 days, but cutting-edge research just within the last couple of months has proven, and as science advances, we learn more information about that, that there is a separate human being inside with their own separate heartbeat and their own separate circulatory system. Skeleton is complete, reflexes are present, and there's another beautiful photograph of a growing 7-week-old. Here are all the things that are in place by 7 weeks. Many people that have fallen victim to having an abortion weren't given this information. It wasn't an informed choice for many. A couple of days later, this baby's 7.5 weeks and is swimming and thumb-sucking, usually on the right hand. Again, this is not a blood clot. The question is this human or not human? Is it a dog? Is it a blood clot? Is it a cow? Is it a chicken? Or is it human? Well, anyone that's given birth knows that it's human. By 11 weeks, there's spontaneous breathing inside, fingernails, all body systems working. And by 12 weeks, look at that hand. Isn't that beautiful? 12 weeks. And the foot? Here's 3.5 months in the womb. Again, that's not just tissue. At 18 weeks, if this baby's born premature, you'll hear him or her cry. And it's about this long by 20 weeks. So that's about a foot long right there. 23 weeks, that baby has a good chance of surviving. And we know now that there's one case of a baby that was born 21 weeks and is surviving. And so the baby is now at the stage where this baby should have been born. It's at the 9-month mark and is thriving and doing well. So viable, as science changes, viable continues to change. What doesn't change, though, is what's growing inside. It's a human. We've been duped into believing otherwise, but it's not the truth. So by the time this baby is 24 weeks, the majority would live if they're just delivered naturally. But that's not what happens during an abortion. It's very gruesome. A premature delivery is where a mother's life maybe is at stake and they have to take that baby to save the life of the mother. But in a premature delivery, they can just do a C-section, take the baby out, and give that baby as much medical possible help as, you know, that do whatever they can, provide oxygen and so on and so forth. And not all babies will survive that, but most do. And there's that beautiful photograph of one that was delivered prematurely. The gloves cover, a glove covers the child, but it's still a human. Here's 5 months, completely formed, beautiful. They have sleep and wake cycles. They kick and swim and roll over, however they feel like. Right now, there is no law in Canada to protect at any stage. So the most conservative stat is that at there are 600 late-term abortions. It's estimated to be more around 1,200, but we know for sure 6 months late-term can be right up to the moment of birth, and I won't get into the details of how that happens. But instead of just delivering the child, there are other things that happen. So we definitely need a law. We need to stand for these beautiful babies that are growing. Mothers in panic, mothers under under crisis pregnancy panic. And I totally get that. But this, at this point, almost one in three babies are aborted, and one in every five women, as I had mentioned earlier. And it's all about choice, we're told. But the reality is, most women that have an abortion say, I felt like I didn't have any choice. So, I mean, like in the book of Amos, we want justice to roll like a river. We want justice to be in the courts. Well, these little ones have no justice, and they have no voice to speak up for themselves. They need us to do that for them, and it's a sort of a question of how to do that. Women are also aren't making informed choices in the sense that they're not aware of all of the physical and psychological risks that are inherent with abortion and all the premature births subsequently that will happen as a result of having abortion and all the disabilities that result and all the sterility and cancers and all those kinds of things. So I would just encourage everyone after this service today on your way out to pick up, doesn't matter, woman, man, it doesn't matter, to pick up a pink sheet, a blue sheet, and a green sheet, and educate yourself about some of the actual facts as to what's going on and what we're actually doing to our women. It's not only our babies, it's our women. So if we look at who qualifies to live, we think, well, there are some cases where surely you would understand if we had an abortion. But how many of you are perfectly formed here today and have no health issues? We're easy to raise, we're born into a good financial stable family, into a healthy, stable situation. How many of you were the gender your parents wanted? The reality is we all deserve to live, regardless of the circumstances. And there are some women that aren't able to care for the child, but there is a long, long list of people who are waiting eagerly. This little girl has Down syndrome, and she is a blessing to her family. So, again, we look at the hard cases. Is a child guilty for the sins of the father or the parent? Do we punish a child for what the parent has done? The reality is that girls who have been pressured or coerced into an abortion find that they, in most cases, find that they were more traumatized by the abortion than by the event that led to conception. And so we need to start rethinking some of these things. I'm out of time, so I would just like to ask that our volunteers come forward and hand out a sheet of paper. There are many, many things that you can do to fight this battle. And this affects not only children or women of age-bearing years, but it's our whole society is impacted. It impacts our level of functioning. The impact is so great. And so I would just like you to consider, not everyone is called into the same arena to do the same things, but there are so many things that you can do. And I'd like you to please take a look at that list. If you are someone who has had an abortion, you can't go back and change that decision, but you can help make a difference for someone else who's considering the same. You can help save someone else from going through the same thing. You can help provide a baby to a childless couple who has been waiting forever. We need to stop gossiping and judging people that find themselves in a crisis pregnancy, but show justice. Let it flow like a river, and let's be loving and kind and supportive. Let's be forgiving and understanding. And not only for those that find themselves in a crisis pregnancy, but those who have gone through and had an abortion. Let's let justice and also forgiveness flow. That's the message of Christ. At the back table today, I would like to encourage everyone to come out and get yourself a feet pin. It's a good conversation starter. These ones are pink because the majority of abortions are now female because people want boys more than girls oftentimes, and this represents gender side that's happening. There's also a bus ad. You can purchase a year's worth of bus ads for all to see. They save lives. Or you can purchase a day, or you can purchase an hour. No amount is too small. You can also sign a petition so that our girls aren't going through making that vulnerable decision without the support of their parents. And you can become a pro-life member today. And I would encourage every man, woman, teen to take a copy, a blue copy, a pink copy, and a green copy. Educate yourself and learn about what it is that we need to do, why, and let's move forward. God bless you all. Thank you so much for having me today, and thank you so much.
And thank you, Jane, for coming, and encourage all of us to consider this as one very practical response to one of the great injustices of our time, the senseless slaughter, the murder, the killing of innocent unborn babies. So as Jane said, there's lots of different ways to get involved. Take the literature. It's free, no cost, no obligation. If you'd like to sponsor a bus ad, we have some volunteers helping at the table. If you'd like to sign that petition that we circulated in January, and you didn't get a chance to sign the petition, if you've signed it already, don't sign it again. But if you did not get a chance to sign that parental consent petition, it'll be at that back table in the main entryway. And if you'd like to take out a membership, memberships are just $25 per person, $10 for students. So that's one practical way to get involved.